Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porther with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Nashville Predators General Manager David Poile. David, thanks so much for taking time to join us. How's the offseason treating you so far?
I've been a little busy. Again, nothing's been quite normal yet due to this COVID and that Delta variant, but we got hockey back in Nashville yesterday. The players were on the ice yesterday afternoon in our development camp. It was really, really exciting to see some of the young players. It was, I didn't realize I got to meet some of them for the first time. We drafted them 2 and 3 years ago, and because of the COVID and the change of schedules, border crossings, it was actually the first time that I got to see some of these guys live, if you will, and actually meet them. So was exciting for us, and I know it was very exciting for them.
Well, it was, and David, to that point, Philip Tomasino, one of the top guys at development camp for you guys so far this year, and he talked yesterday about feeling like he's ready to make the jump to the NHL, and not only ready to make the jump, but ready to be a significant contributor as well. Number one, what do you think of those comments? And number two, where do you kind of forecast Philip Tomasino as to where he is right now and how he could potentially fit into your lineup at this point?
I had a talk with Phil yesterday, too, and he always has impressed me from the day that we drafted him in terms of his maturity for a young player, but his focus. He doesn't get too far ahead of himself, but, he has a good way about him in terms of where he feels he's going and how he's going to get there. You know, we've had a conversation as to what we've done in the off season, where we've created some openings by moving some players, and basically we're wide open to putting him on our team this year if he's ready to play. So I like him as a player, I like him as a person, and I think he's got a real good chance of making our team this year.
David, are you looking at this coming season like more of an immediate opportunity to see what some of the young guys can do? Obviously, Tomasino is one of those, but Cody Glass coming in, Tolvanen could be in various spots. Like, do you look at it like, let's from the start see what the young guys can do, or is it just whatever the best lineup is the best lineup and go from there?
I really think that we're going to give these players I don't want to say an extra opportunity, but it's almost like it's their job to lose. When you make decisions to trade a Ryan Ellis or to trade a Victor Arvidsson, there has to be a plan, and the plan was to, for example, to give Tolvanen, as you mentioned his name, or Tomasino a chance to play regular for us. We didn't go out and sign another veteran player, if you will, to replace Arvi. And with Ellis, for example, it's faith that Dante Fabro will rebound to have a strong season, that Alex Carrier will continue to play the strong game that he played, making our team in the second half of the season. So, yes, I guess you'd say there's a big push here right now on a more of a youth movement, or to give our younger players that we feel have the biggest potential, the most upside in the next several years to make our team this year.
Nashville Predators General Manager David Poile on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And David, obviously a big move yesterday. UC Saros signed to a 4-year, $20 million contract. How important was it for you and for your group to get that done with UC Saros and know that he's going to be your guy for the next few years?
Yeah, obviously really important. Every negotiation has its different twists and turns or what have you, but I think we arrived at a fair number, and I think we arrived at a fair number of years. Use is 26 years of age. Last year was his first year of being the number one goalie. He's had I love his resume, in terms of how we brought him over, played parts of 3 seasons in Milwaukee, has been under the mentorship of Pekka Rinne for the last 2 or 3 seasons, and basically took over for Pekka for sure in the second half of last season, and now it's up to him to see whether he's truly a number one goaltender. I mean, there's a lot of things that Juice still has to prove. I mean, it'll be his first year, obviously, with Opeka. In a normal 82-game schedule, he's going to be called upon to play more games than he's ever played before. You'd certainly like your top goaltender to play 50 to 60 games in an ideal situation. I believe the most he's played in a year is 42 games. And in addition to that, obviously we hope we're a playoff team and we need our number one goalie to be able to be there for us in the playoffs. So a lot of proof to prove on both sides, but I would hope that we'd all agree that based on his resume, what we've seen in Juice's progress, how he played last year, that I'm pretty comfortable that Juice is going to be a really strong goaltender to inherit the number one position from Pekka.
Well, David, you mentioned the mentorship he got from Pekka Rinne. As you project forward, I guess in a perfect world, if it could go how you'd like it to go, would you foresee him being a mentor at some point to Yaroslav Askarov and sort of those two being the two and maybe just sorting it out from there, depending on, obviously, Askarov's development and, of course, if Saros can maintain this level of play?
I guess that could happen someday. That's really, to me, looking a little bit too far down the road. That's Joe, that's kind of what I probably always say to you, that my job is to look 3 to 5 years down the road, and Askarov is certainly going to be part of that. Hopefully next year being signed, I would think a normal progression would be to play in Milwaukee for 1 to 2 years at least. You know, I think that, and then maybe be up here at that point in time. If Juice plays out his 4 years, he's 30 years of age. I would think competitively Juice would be, for a goaltender, in the prime of his career. So to your point, yeah, mentorship and tutelage in a 1-2 relationship like that would be fantastic. You know, again, I don't know how exactly that's going to play out in terms of the competitiveness, how good Juice is going to be at that point in his career, and how good Askarov is. But I hope it's a good problem to have. Let's go stay it that way.
David, you mentioned earlier this offseason that negotiations or I guess conversations with Ekholm and Forsberg in terms of an extension and not yet begun, but also mentioned both those guys have expressed interest in staying in Nashville long term. Is there any update? Have you begun conversations with Ekholm and Forsberg when it comes to contract extensions? Where do those talks kind of stand at this point?
Yeah, now that we're past the UC situation, now we're going to turn our focus now to Ekholm. I actually spoke with his agent yesterday afternoon, and we're going to talk either later this week or next week on that. And then I think shortly before training camp, we'll reach out to Philip Forsberg and his camp and sort of get a lay of the land as to where Philip's thoughts are right now. So those are the next two priorities.
Well, how do you feel about those two guys and just how they view where things are going? And I guess, David, how important is sort of the competitive aspect of the term you've used, competitive rebuild? You know, I mean, obviously players who are a little bit later in their careers probably don't look forward to several years of rebuilding. Like how much do you expect that to, I guess, come into the conversations, you know, sort of giving them your vision for the short term?
That's a very important part of the conversation. And they have to believe in the organization and what we're doing and where we're going. And I will, I've certainly had talks, you know, with both of them at the end of the year on a little bit on that. But I think as we get into, say, negotiations, if you will, that those conversations will be, you know, taken up a notch. And I'm going to give my viewpoints and my vision, but I certainly need to see how they see themselves fitting in, because, you know, those type of players need to be our best players. They need to be leaders for us, and so they need to be totally bought in, or it's not going to work for them or for us. So it'd be important discussions that, you know, hopefully will lead to future contracts with us. That would be the goal.
David, obviously a really important signing to get Mikael Granlund back in the fold for you guys as well. As you kind of look at the moves that have been made this offseason and the opportunities that you've mentioned for some young guys as well, where do you see Granlund kind of factoring into this lineup? He's played at wing and at center to close out last season as well. How do you kind of view where Granlund fits into the mold right now?
I think Granlund ranks right at the top of our fours in terms of use, contribution, versatility. You can see that in the way that he's being used, not only on a regular line, but on penalty killing and on the power play. So I would think, and if you're rating your forwards simply by ice time, he's probably going to be one of the top two or three players in terms of their usage. I think, again, he's a good role model in terms of how we want to play as a person, how he carries himself, how he prepares himself. I really feel our players, and especially going back to the beginning of this conversation when we're talking about bringing in more younger players or putting younger players in a more important position, I think Granlund's going to serve as a very important player for us both on and off the ice, and I would think strongly that he would assume and be put into more of a leadership role than he has been in the last couple of years for us.
David, do you think this can be a playoff team if Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene don't significantly improve their production this year? And then on top of that, would you like to see them get an extended look together next season?
First of all, I think as talking about our team is that that's going to be our goal, is to make the playoffs. I know we've made a lot of changes, so that I certainly expect that there's going to be a lot of people that don't feel that we will be, but that will be our goal. I think when you talk about individual players, in this case, in Johansson and Duchene, they are a part of our team. Hopefully they can be a big part of our team, but like any individual, and this is, again, why I think hockey is the greatest team game, is that oftentimes the best players aren't your best players, although you would like them to be. Oftentimes the best players in the league don't end up winning at the end of the day or winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, Connor McDavid right now is the best player in the league by consensus. They lost out in the first round of the playoffs. The year before, they didn't make the playoffs. So it's a team game. We need everybody to do their part. I'm in addition to Johansson and Duchene, I'm expecting a lot of players to have better seasons. I don't think that's unrealistic in terms of how certain players have played or where they are, you know, presently in their career, especially some of these younger players. So, I think the last part of your question, would they play together? I think that's a decision for our coaching staff. I would think that there would be a good chance that they could play together, but you know how it goes during the season, by good play, bad play, injuries, a lot of things get shuffled around. I think Duchene has that versatility of being able to play both center and the wing, and we'll have to see how that all plays out.
Well, David, we certainly appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Have fun the rest of this offseason and in development camp as well. Looking forward to getting training camp fired back up here in just a few weeks.
Okay, I will. It's exciting. Come out and see us. We've got some good young kids here.
Absolutely. Predators General Manager David Poile, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what David Poile had to say there. Some interesting comments from the Preds General Manager. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. This week's deal is from Joyland in East Nashville. Joyland is a fun new concept by Chef Sean Brock, designed to spread joy throughout his love for cheeseburgers, shakes, fries, fried chicken, and buttermilk biscuits. Who doesn't like any of those things?
Sounds good.
Sounds pretty good to me. Get half off a $25 gift card now at thegamenashville.com while they last. I'm all about some cheeseburgers, shakes, fries, fried chicken, and buttermilk biscuits, Joe Rexroad.
Yep,
that's really my language right there.
Those would all be on the list. I tweeted this out the other day, the Southern food list. See this?
Oh, yeah.
It's like 36. I've done 32 of them.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of them, though, were like, is that really Southern? Like jambalaya. How many people haven't had jambalaya?
I'd say jambalaya is Southern.
It's definitely Southern, yeah.
Well, it is, but I'm just saying, like, I think of Southern as not mainstream also. It's like only, like, I mean, yes, the best jambalaya you're going to get in New Orleans, but can you get jambalaya in Montana? Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, you can get any food anywhere.
Well, nah. There's some Southern food that in different regions they'd be like, what is that? They would not say that about jambalaya.
I can tell you, you cannot get sweet tea anywhere. I've tried.
This is true.
That's because sweet tea is stupid.
What about hash brown casserole?
I'm not speaking the rest of the segment.
All right, I was a little mean.
Joe's
to sweet
upset
tea.
Me.
It's just a big pile of sugar.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Sweet tea sucks.
Thank you.
All right. So does unsweet tea.
Robbie's out of here.
See y'all.
So does what?
Unsweet tea.
No, I like iced tea without the sweetener. And well. Arnold Palmer.
Well said.
On Arnold Palmer is not bad. A little lemonade with the tea, but just sugar in the tea? No.
Ugh.
Ugh.
We're going to switch gears and talk about David Poile and Nashville Predators now.
There we go.
Thanks to David Poile for joining us in the last segment. We appreciate that.
Where would David Poile be on the Southern food?
I'm sure he's had a good amount. He's been here for a long time.
I mean, we were talking yesterday about poutine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's there's a food item. A lot of people around here be like, huh? What are you talking about? But like in the Midwest.
Can't get poutine too many places around here.
Right. But I mean, that's a regional.
Sure.
Fantastic food. Everybody try poutine. Anyway, David Poile.
Yes, David Poile joining us. Did have some news on the Ekholm and Forsberg front. Has had discussion with Ekholm's agent. Going to circle back on that either later this week or next week. So the priority appears to have shifted from UC Saros now to Mattias Ekholm. And said after that, Forsberg, a little bit closer to training camp, get his thoughts from Forsberg's camp to see exactly where he is. Interesting, we've talked about this a lot here on the show. I'd be very surprised at this point if Mattias Ekholm's not back. Stranger things have happened. And both of them have a year left on their contract, so they're both going to be back. But I'd be surprised if Ekholm doesn't get signed to an extension. I am curious with Forsberg. Like, how exactly does he view all this? I think your question that you had to Poile was a good one. Like, how much is the short-term part of this a factor when it comes to some of these guys still in the prime of their careers, still trying to win at a high level? It's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out with Ekholm and Forsberg as they move closer to training camp.
Yeah, like, why are you waiting longer for Forsberg?
It's a good question.
Is it just like you feel like Ekholm will be easy and Forsberg may be difficult? I don't know. It's just, I guess, it makes sense to focus on one, then focus on the next, I suppose.
Yeah. That's typically how Poile does it.
Yeah. So, okay. So. Well, I don't retract the question, but that's a fair answer.
Yeah.
I think the most interesting thing he said was talking about the young guys.
Yeah.
The fact that they've got to be held to this, too, because the words youth movement were used a year ago. And then it was like youth movement when injuries happen to veterans. But it sounds to me like the plan is, like he said, I mean, every opportunity for a guy like Tomasino, a good situation for a Cody Glass, good situation for a Tolvanen. And that's what they should do. I mean, you've got to. I mean, if it diminishes you greatly because you should have a couple other guys in there, well, at some point, I understand they're going to try to make the playoffs, they're going to try to win, but I feel like the extended actual from-the-start look for the young guys is important.
Well, I mean, Poile basically said it's going to be their job to lose. Like, they're going to come in, they're going to be given every opportunity to make this team. I mean, look, we know Tolvanen's going to make the team. He'll be on it. I'd be floored if Cody Glass isn't on the team. I think that's part of the reason you make that trade.
That'd be a shocking he's on the team. Setback if he isn't.
Right? Really, the question has been, like, is Philip Tomasino ready? And I talked to Philip Tomasino yesterday. He believes that he's ready. He's a confident kid. Said not only is he ready to play in the NHL, but he's ready to make a significant impact at the NHL level as well. So Philip Tomasino, I think, fully believes that he's ready at the NHL level. He did have more than a point per game last year at the American Hockey League. So there's a lot about him that I like. There's a lot about him that a lot of people around the league like as well. The Athletic came out with their top 50 prospects list, which, a lot of that is, Owen Power, just selected number one overall in the draft. Quentin Byfield was the number one prospect on this list. He's out in L.A. right now. So some higher draft picks on the list. They've got Philip Tomasino at number 29 on this list. And the write-up is, quote, "The more I've watched Tomasino over the years, the fonder I've grown of his game and his upside. He's a breezy skater who threatens off the rush with his ability to fly wide or to burst to the middle to create in transition as both a passer and a finishing threat. His wrister is a mid-range threat. He's got excellent hands, crafty with the puck in tight spaces, and just seems to effortlessly flow within the game, making plays. He could inject the Predators with a much-needed injection of skill." I mean, people are high on Philip Tomasino, and the more I watch him play and the more that I hear coaches and teammates talk about him, I think the Predators could have a really nice piece in Philip Tomasino. And to me, just let the kid play this year. Get him up there, see what you got at the NHL level. And if he's not ready, then you can react after that. But I tend to think Philip Tomasino's ready, and he's going to play at the NHL level this year.
Okay, so devil's advocate, because you certainly hear this from coaches and personnel people at times. You know, you go too hard, too early with someone, and then it just doesn't work out, and they're just not quite ready, physically, mentally, whatever, then you can really damage confidence. Any concern on that?
I mean, there's a concern. I'm a little less worried about it from his standpoint because there's a part of his game that I think is going to allow him to be – there's a baseline of success he'll have anyway just based on how fast he is. I mean, he's really fast. And when you're that fast, you're going to be able to get to pucks quicker. You're going to be able to create some chances that way just based off purely your foot speed. And he's got incredible foot speed. So that is a thing that he's got. I mean, everybody always – if you're a Predators fan, you ask, well, how does Tomasino compare to a guy like Tolvanen? I mean, I would argue that Tolvanen probably had more hype than Tomasino coming into, you know, this organization here with the Predators.
Oh, yeah.
They're very different in the way they play. Tomasino, he does not have the shot that Tolvanen has. He is more NHL-ready at pretty much everything else than Tolvanen was besides the shot. And quite frankly, he's just got foot speed that Tolvanen doesn't have
at
this point.
Would they complement each other at some point?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think they would. Yeah. And that's another thing you got to figure out if you're the Predators. Is Tomasino going to play down the middle, which is where he was drafted, or is he going to play on the wing, which is basically where he's been playing the last couple of years? He spent a lot of time on the wing. It kind of feels like he's turning into a winger, which it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when he was a center when he got drafted. So where is he going to fit in at the NHL level? My guess is on the wing, but that's an interesting question for John Hines and the staff to kind of figure out there.
Well, and just the whole, I mean, in the immediate, just this picture with Granlund, which you asked about, and Cody Glass, who's down the middle, who's on the wing, who's with who, it's going to be really interesting.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam from Portland texting in, I still can't understand not re-signing Eric Halla. He brought a nastiness to our team that I don't see on the roster right now. It makes no sense to me. Well, I think
I think it goes along with what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's about the young guys. I think that's why he's not back. Is they're opening up spots for young guys to come in and contribute. Now, you say that, and then somebody's response will be, okay, well, why are you signing Mikael Granlund if you're opening up spots for young guys? And I get that. I think the difference is Granlund was probably their most important forward last year. And, you know, if the usage is the same, which I think it will be, he could be their most important forward this year too.
I mean, for this coaching staff, Granlund is it's absolutely essential, right?
Yep.
To have him in the lineup. And I agree on Halla. I really like how Halla played late. I like how he played in the playoff series. But you can't have a youth movement if you keep signing guys like that. And you're trying to find a higher level with people with bigger upside who get opportunities to, you know, to take you to a better place. That sounded like a movie, you know, poster. But
it did.
You know what I'm saying. take us to a better place, Cody Glass.
That's right. JC in Goodlettsville texting in. After the Soros deal and then Ekholm, do we have cap room for Forsberg if we don't move Johansson or Duchesne's contract?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Especially now with Ryan Ellis gone. Obviously, Pecorine's contract off the books as well. Victor Arvidsson's contract off the books. You do have Granlund back. It's not like you've got all the room in the world to operate with, but Ekholm and Forsberg you'll have room for, should they decide to sign. Now, the question to that is, all right, how far are you willing to go with Forsberg? Because I can see it a couple different ways. Like, I don't think Philip Forsberg is worth the $8 million that he's probably going to get just based on simply production. Like, I think he's a uber talented player, but production wise I don't think he's an $8 million player. Now, the counter argument to that, if you're Philip Forsberg, is going to be you're paying Matt Duchesne and Ryan Johansson $8 million and you think I'm going to take a cent less than that? Are you crazy? That's going to be an interesting spot to figure out.
Well, he plays a different position too. How much does that factor into the fact that some of these other goal scoring wingers like a Taylor Hall this year in free agency didn't really break the bank like some centers did?
Yep. Although Duchesne no longer playing.
Yeah. Yes. He was signed as a center, but yes.
He was. No, it's certainly a fact. I mean, the centers, that's where the big money is. I don't think there's any question about that.
And I think so much of the answer is, what does Forsberg think is going to happen with this franchise in the next few years? Because yep. I think you could see a scenario where he wouldn't push it all the way, like, I absolutely must be paid at least as much as those guys, but only if he feels good about where things are going. And he may not. And he may have reason to not.
Yeah, it's going to be really fascinating to see how that plays out with Ekholm and Forsberg and the Predators as well as we get closer to training camp. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans, get Joe's thoughts on practice yesterday, including some news on Josh Reynolds as the Titans head down to Tampa Bay. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Still kind of working through some stuff, but you know, like I said, today I felt good. Today was, everything was kind of clicking with my body. I was kind of trying to figure out a routine to kind of get stuff figured out down there. You know, as you get older, it gets a little harder to just go out there and run.
That was Titans wide receiver Josh Reynolds yesterday.
Yeah, the 26-year-old in perfect shape with 0% body fat. Getting older.
You know, he's right, though. As you get older, it's harder to run and to be explosive that way.
Yeah.
So at 26, he's already feeling it.
I mean, I will say, this league will make you 40 real fast, I'm sure.
Yes, it will.
I'm about to turn 32, and I haven't run in a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not true. I've seen Porth bust it down the baseline in a softball game.
This is true.
Just busted.
And I probably pulled my hammy that night.
I think that may have happened.
You've got softball tonight, right?
Tomorrow night.
Okay.
Another charity league softball game. So, getting after it.
And Big Joe will be with you?
Big Joe's going to be there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be something.
Now talk about a supreme athlete. Yes. Still in the prime of his athleticism. Amazing specimen, Joe Dubin.
That's right. It's going to be awesome. Looking forward to it. Josh Reynolds talking yesterday, feeling better at Titans practice, did say that an Achilles issue has been bothering him, and I think you and I have deduced that it may be an Achilles strain on that part, obviously not a tear. Well, we're not talking about Josh Reynolds right now because he's not a part of things with the Achilles being that way, but looked better towards the end of practice. What were your thoughts on Josh Reynolds, his injury situation that he's been battling through, and how did he look yesterday out there on the field of practice at Nissan Stadium in front of some Titans fans, by the way, on the field yesterday
Nissan Stadium? Yeah, just about 7,000 people out there. It was a good scene. Put on a good show for the fans after the early, slow start when I thought Vrabel was going to troll all of us. But it ended up being a good, nice practice. And look, that's the best Josh Reynolds has looked here. I mean, those are the biggest plays he's made, the biggest play he's made, and the fastest he's looked. So, I mean, maybe, you just turn the lights on a little bit, put some fans out there. That makes a difference. But,
yeah,
I think realistically it's when you got quote-unquote Achilles stuff, that can't be fun.
Caught my eye, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things you rarely hear, Like you just rarely hear about, just a little Achilles tweak, I sprained my Achilles. Now, you can't have an Achilles strain. And actually, I've had Achilles pain. But at my age, like someone who gets gout, there's all kinds of issues that I encounter. Okay? But I mean, it was interesting to hear that. And it doesn't sound great. But then you watch him run yesterday. And it was actually a really good matchup with him and Christian Fulton, who was hurt the day before, by the way. Yep. Good to see him back out there. It was a speed matchup. Reynolds and Fulton down the field. Perfect pass from Tannehill. Great catch by Reynolds. He did drop a pass early that would have been a big play earlier in one of the team drills. I don't remember if it was 7-on-7 or 11-on-11, but he made a couple other plays. And I think the Josh Reynolds, Marcus Johnson, I think that's a battle, too. You can pair up, like David Beauclair said earlier, pair up these receivers sort of, you're like Cam, Cam Batson, Chester Rogers, punt returner guy, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Racy McMath, special teams core guy, and Marcus Johnson, Josh Reynolds might be number three receiver guy. I mean, I think both of them could catch passes this year and matter in the offense.
Yeah, I think both going to make the team.
Oh, definitely.
But
Yeah, I mean, with Reynolds, I mean, we talked about, we threw batted around last week, right? Because he hasn't done anything. But it doesn't take much to see it and say, yeah, I mean, he's going to be on the team.
Yeah, I would think so. Good to see him back on the field yesterday. That's the thing. You know, with him, he still is young, and he's played 16 games every year of his career so far. He's not missed a game since he's come into the league. So durability, to this point, has not really been a problem with Josh Reynolds. Now, it's the NFL, and that can change very quickly. We know that. But he's never missed a game. So I don't think you come into the season all that worried about Josh Reynolds from a durability standpoint.
Right. Now, again, you do get older. You do. I will say one thing about Josh Reynolds. I mean, he is slight. He is so skinny. Like, you look at him, and you wouldn't think that'd be a guy who has the durability to play every game in this league. But obviously he does. But still, you go a few years, you get a shoulder, you get a surgery, now you get whatever happened with the Achilles. Things can start to accumulate on you quickly in this league. But that was definitely an encouraging sight yesterday. I mean, he and Chester Rogers were the standouts of the scrimmage. And Tannehill, looked like Tannehill throwing the ball around, although he did have a pick from Kevin Byard. And Laurel Murchison actually had two, by my count, PBUs at the line with nice length. You know, another depth guy who's been playing well in camp.
Worried about Tannehill's height? 6'4", 6'5", not tall enough?
Well, maybe. He's not the tallest quarterback in the league. So, so many things we can nitpick. That is a good question.
At one time, it was Brock Osweiler. Is he still in the league?
Oh, good Lord. Remember when there was so much excitement about him in Houston? No, Paxton Lynch was like 6'8".
Oh,
right?
Yeah, he was huge.
He's not around.
Broncos have run through some tall quarterbacks.
They have, haven't they? But that's it probably is still. Roethlisberger is like a legit 6'6", right?
I think so.
Probably him.
Probably he's 6'5" for Roethlisberger.
Oh, is that right?
6'5".
There's probably some. How tall is Justin Herbert?
Let's see here.
I know that there's a way to figure this out. There's got to be
Justin Herbert is 6'6", so taller than Ben Roethlisberger. Okay. Maybe that's why there's so much hype on Herbert. Big guy. I guess I didn't realize he was that tall.
He's good.
He's good.
Oh, he's a Hall of Famer already.
He's
right there with Brady.
That gold jacket.
Tannehill's 6'4", so got some work to do on that front.
This reminds me, I forgot about Dan McGuire. You guys remember Dan McGuire? There's no way you remember Dan McGuire.
I don't.
Mark McGuire's brother, San Diego State, didn't quite work out in the NFL, but 6'8", quarterback in the NFL.
Okay, all right.
The more you know.
Yep.
All right. It used to be, if you were under 6', you're not playing quarterback in this league. It's not really the case anymore.
Yep.
Guys like Russell Wilson have changed the narrative on that. Drew Brees.
Breeze, Wilson, Kyler Murray, and you know, how tall is Tua? I mean, Tua's not super tall, right?
He's 6'1".
Okay, so it's fine. But even that, like 6'1", would be held against you 20 years ago.
Yeah.
6'1"'s held against you. Not anymore.
How tall is Flacco?
Well, this has Mariota listed at 6'4". Is Mariota 6'4"?
He's always been
Flacco's
listed at
6'6".
Yeah, Flacco's big. There you go.
Elite.
So we found a good attribute for Joe Flacco.
I mean, Super Bowl champion Joe Flacco.
You got it.
Where is he now?
He's Philly.
That's right.
He's Jalen Hurts' backup, Philly.
Well, hopefully Jalen doesn't get hurt so that Eagles fans don't have to watch Flacco.
I'm so glad you got that
joke. I know where that was going,
today.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you got a chance to make that fun joke.
Chris texting in on the text line, driven by Wilson County.
Way to squeeze one out, Ryan. Yay!
Chris says, ketchup on hot dogs and brats reduces gout. That's Joe's problem. This is likely 0% accurate.
Oh, my God. Who said that?
Chris.
Maybe that's been the secret all along. Trust me, brats in any form don't help gout.
Ketchup or otherwise.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Taking more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
What's a jam? I need to get that. Where can I get that on 8-track?
An 8-track, huh? That's the way you're going about it? I like it.
What year is that song?
Probably 78.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say. Like that's.
Do you know the song?
I know.
It's your request from yesterday.
Yeah, it's Smoky Mountain Rain.
Day late and dollar short.
Okay, well, I guess I'm also clueless on that. When I heard all these people going nuts about it, I'm like, oh, I'm sure I know it then, but no.
That wasn't the chorus. Came out in 1980.
The chorus.
Came out in 1980.
Okay.
So 78 was a good guess, actually. Pretty close.
Yeah, good guess. Yeah.
Shout out to Ronnie Millsap.
I mean, I know some Ronnie Millsap. Play the chorus.
Jared Cassidy in here says that you haven't lived very much if you haven't heard that song before.
Well, I probably have, but you didn't play the chorus. I mean,
as we go out.
It sounded like a song that I want to go earmuffs hard to, but, you know, I mean, you got to give me the chorus.
Oh, boy. By the way, make sure you're tuning in tonight for Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds begin a 6-game road trip against Memphis, the Triple A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Big rivalry between Nashville and Memphis in more ways than just baseball.
They're going the opposite way from the Smoky Mountains.
That is correct. You're driving away from the Smoky Mountains at that point. Pre-game show with Jeff Hem starts at 6:55.
And hopefully there's no rain tonight.
It's at 7:10. Nashville Sounds Baseball presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Keith on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lynn Dickey was 6'3" at quarterback. A lot of Lynn Dickey love on the show the last couple of days.
On my tombstone, it'll have like Lynn Dickey. If only he could have thrown to Nick Westbrook Aquina, could have been the greatest NFL connection ever. But what if Dan Fouts was also there?
How tall was Dan Fouts?
Oh, Dan Fouts is a big guy. I bet you Dan Fouts is a solid 6'6". I'm going to look that up. I'll be surprised if Dan Fouts.
He's 6'3".
Really? Didn't keep him out of the Hall of Fame. Just larger than life to me.
Really?
Dan Fouts is like Paul Bunyan with a football when I was a kid.
Oh, Dan Fouts is a big guy. I'd be surprised if he went 6'6". 6'3".
We need to get Dan Fouts back on the show so I can fanboy out a little bit.
It's friend
more,
of the show,
you know?
Dan Fouts.
Yeah, friend of the show, Dan Fouts. A little bit weirded out by me, Dan Fouts.
I wonder if he has gout, too.
God, I hope not.
Chances are, man. I'm just saying, like, he's 70, you know?
You know, Brady's only 6'4". It's amazing he's been able to do what he's done. 6'4".
Is that right? It's actually taller than I thought he was.
How tall do you think he was?
I thought he was like 5'6", just some magician out there.
Brady just running under the line of scrimmage. Yep. That's why he's so good at the quarterback sneak.
Is he taller than an Ewok?
I mean, he's essentially the new age. He's essentially the new age Doug Flutie, you know? Basically like the modern day Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
Or so I thought, but I was wrong.
You know, Doug Flutie's listed at 5'10". Do we believe that?
No.
I thought Doug Flutie was about 5'6".
I thought he was like 5'8".
Yeah.
He was fun to watch, man. He was.
Slinging that thing all over.
He could ball. I mean, he was one of the – I mean, back then, too, as we talked about, like the shorter quarterback now gets more of an opportunity. But back then, laughable.
Was it Doug Flutie?
6'11" Dan Fouts out slinging it. You know, there's no room for a Doug Flutie in your league.
Was Doug Flutie the one that drop kicked the extra point late in his career? Didn't they bring him in there to do a drop kick?
That sounds right.
Yeah,
I think that's right.
A lost art in the game of football. Not many drop kicks anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have a better chance of making one of those than a off the hold. You know.
That seems like it's more complicated. The drop kick?
Well, there's no – yeah. I mean, the chance isn't good either way, but I just feel like – I don't know. If anybody's tried to place kick, it's not easy.
It's not easy. No, it's not. Joe, Titans traveling down today to Tampa Bay. They'll be practicing tomorrow and Thursday against the Bucks. It'll be hot out there. It's going to be about 95 in the next couple of days in Tampa Bay, and then the game coming up this weekend. What are we looking for this week at practice? For the Titans against the Buccaneers, do you think there's any chance we could see Julio Jones on the field this week down in Tampa Bay?
A chance, but I think I would – if I had to guess, I'd guess no. Not that there's anything when he's walking around, jogging around. Doesn't seem like there's anything really that's a problem. But I just kind of guess. I would think next week, the week after for him, but I could be wrong. I mean, I think it's a, you know, you look at the players on this team who can in just an individual drills, who can get some really good work, and I think of defensive backs and I think of offensive linemen, especially young defensive back. You know, Christian Fulton and if Molden's out there and Farley against those receivers, and then obviously you got some great pass rushers. You know, Dylan Radun's trying to continue the progress, things like that. I mean, those would be some good sessions. And I mean, if the Patriots visit here a few years ago is any indication, Tom Brady is will be a nice challenge for this Titans defense.
Yeah.
He's pretty good, at least as a practice player.
Yes, I'm sure that he is. Good test, though, for the Titans secondary, going up against Godwin, Evans, that receiving core out in Tampa Bay. It'll be good work for Christian Fulton this week, going up against some of those guys. Vrabel talked about that a little bit yesterday. Obviously, some very good players that Tampa Bay has. I'm interested to see how he does in particular this week, Fulton,
going
up against those guys.
Big time. I mean, I think, you know, that you saw how much he played Friday. Like, he's one of those guys, important but needs the work. And that's clearly how they look at him. And so I think he'll play a lot Saturday, and he'll get a lot of work this week. You know, is Gronk practicing right now?
I don't know.
But there's a, you know, there's a guy, it's tough to deal with.
Yeah.
Linebackers or safeties dealing with a Gronk. I mean, you know, you win a Super Bowl, you got some good players.
Turns out. And you bring everybody back from the Super Bowl, too.
Did something make you laugh on the text line?
Yeah, Tim from Lewisburg texting in. Peyton Manning is 6'5", with most of that being in his forehead. A lot of comments on the Hall of Fame bust from Peyton Manning. The forehead kind of got sized down a little bit, it looked like.
Yeah, that was a little bit strange-looking bust, wasn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
The autocorrect on the text said Peyton Manny.
Yeah, there was that.
Peyton Manny.
Seth confirming that Doug Flutie did do the dropkick, the first dropkick in like 60 years with the Patriots.
That's awesome.
What a moment
it was. That guy was so great. I wish you guys were old enough to remember Doug Flutie and enjoy watching him.
I've seen the Hail Mary
highlight a lot. New Jersey Generals.
Yeah.
I told you that I watched Herschel Walker play for the New Jersey Generals, right?
Oh, yeah. You said that. Yeah. Last year we had the Hail Mary discussion with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. Like, was that the greatest Hail Mary we've ever seen? Rodgers has had a few. Doug Flutie's was pretty nice. The Hail Mary at Boston
College. Oh, 4-4 BC.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's probably the most famous one, right?
Probably so.
I mean, it's probably the one I've seen the most in my life. Wouldn't you guys say?
Yeah.
Elijah's in here. I'm looking for some nods or most watched Hail Mary. He's not listening.
Although going back and watching the Kyler Murray and a couple that Aaron Rodgers has had, like fadeaway throws, pretty freaking epic.
I mean, hey, got to see the one here in Athens a few years ago in person. That was pretty solid. That was almost just like a just throwing a fade, you know, like you just knew he was going to get the ball.
Butch Jones in tears on the field after.
My coaching led us to this victory.
We'd all be in tears later.
That was such a brutal job of coaching by him in that game.
It was awful.
Oh.
So bad.
Jawan Jennings.
Do miss Uncle Vern. Do miss Uncle Vern on the call.
Yeah, he was great.
Dennis texting in. The Titans lose the Music City Miracle game if Flutie starts. So Dennis saying Titans dodge bullet. If Doug Flutie started.
I kind of agree with
that's
that.
That's right. Rob Johnson and Doug Flutie were the two cornerbacks. Yep. Man, I forgot about the fact that Flutie was – he may be right. Flutie just made stuff happen. Sometimes really bad, dumb stuff, but he made stuff happen.
Yeah. Could have changed the course of Titans history if Doug Flutie's in there. We'll never know.
Hmm. So much to ponder.
So much to ponder, for sure.
As we wait for the show to end.
Well, you're heading out to Tampa Bay this weekend for the game. You will not be there for practice. But Jared Stillman will be there for practice.
We got the whole thing covered. Jared doing the first shift. I'm doing the second shift.
That is correct. So lots of Titans Buccaneers coverage coming your way this week. I'll keep you updated on Predators development camp as well. Day two of development camp today. They'll have the Future Stars game coming up on Thursday at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. So a busy week for the local professional sports teams here in Nashville. That does it for us here today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.